never forget the first moment when I walked into a cinema. I was hooked from there on.
Okay, hello and welcome to the Turkey First Skinon podcast.
31.
Yep.
We're getting old.
Yep. It's a prime number though, so we'll go with that.
Oh yeah. Okay, that's good enough for me.
Niall's the nerd of the group, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, in case you have to figure it out after 31 podcasts. The prime number will give it away.
Yes, yeah. My love of primes knows no bounds.
There's Optimus mostly.
Rodimus. Mm. Yes.
But not that forgettable rom-com with Meryl Streep and Uma Thurman.
No.
Steady on.
but Butch and Cruz Primer.
Ah.
Now. Yeah. My head just did a kind of responsive headache initial. It's like, oh, James, that's such a good film, but good God, my head.
Oh, now I'm just thinking about Upstream Color.
I got 40 minutes, 50 minutes into Primer before I kind of lost it. I was really concentrating, had the lines worked out until it kind of tripled back on itself, and I was gone. But God, I enjoyed the ride the rest of it.
Yeah, you're not, that's an aside. You're not meant to overtake that particular
thing. I tried to, I nearly hurt my head.
So, what have you been watching?
Oh, I have done a Roy Anderson double bill.
Ooh, what first time around,
You the Living and Songs from the Second Floor.
Very good.
Songs from the Second Floor is great fun. I watched that second, actually, even though it's an earlier film. I watched You the Living first.
Second Floor, second.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I really like both, but I thought You the Living was astonishing, absolutely astonishing. Some of the scenes in it, the constructed sets, the camera shots, the endless rooms and corridors, and this claustrophobia in it, and it's very funny and very quite moving on occasion, and really, really good. And I cannot wait for a pigeon, etc.
Someone stop the pigeon!
Yes, so they were my main watches. I also watched something else, but it's popped into the top 10, so we shall talk about that later.
But I think I know what you mean, for I watched that as well.
Yes, we shall talk of times past.
In the future.
In the future. Good Lord. That's a Shane Carruth moment there I've had.
Or an Ed Wood moment. And remember, my friends, future events such as these will affect you in the future. But anyway.
Yeah. Did I watch anything else?
It's you, Jay. You're bound to have.
I did, but I can't remember now. But I'll pass it on to you and then I'll think of something and go, damn it.
Maybe Niall's right. Maybe we are getting old.
I'm telling you.
Did I say that?
I think I said that.
Oh, hey, maybe I'm getting old. I don't know anymore.
Your hearing is gone.
The theme for today is time travel and the fact that we don't know where we are.
We have themed episodes now?
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, what have I been watching? I've been watching, well, surprise, surprise, a lot of horror. This weekend was the IFI Horrorthon, and I went along to a few events. I'll tell you this, a Hellraiser double bill at 11 o'clock at night will tire you out, even though Hellraiser 2 is still certifiably crap. First one's a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen them. I did enjoy the first one. I'm sure I've seen the second one. Can't remember anything about it.
And the Horrorthon also gifted me one of the most wonderful cinematic experiences I've had in a while. Haxan, Witchcraft Through the Ages, the 1922 silent, with live accompaniment.
Ooh. Who did live accompaniment?
Hmm?
Who did it?
The Dublin Film Ensemble.
Oh, lovely.
Nice job they did too, and it was a joy. Absolute joy. Even in my tired state, again, another 11 p.m. start. Thank you, Horrorthon. wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Just, the effects, the makeup, the sets in that film. Just, even modern films, that's what they should be aiming for. And they don't get it.
Aim higher, modern films. You heard the man.
Indeed. And I'm just trying to...
There you go.
Go out, get Fritz Lang... box set, watch that.
That's absolutely fine advice to any filmmaker.
Lang, Murnau, any of the greats.
Snyder. sorry, go ahead.
Roy Schneider?
Yeah, sure we know.
And, that was, those were the highlights.
I did watch The Shining, actually, now that I realise that. I really watched for the...
You forgot time. About I watching did. The Shining.
I did forget, clearly. But it's as great as ever. Just, what more needs to be said. One of the greats for a reason.
Mm. Though Stephen King would not agree.
Yeah, Stephen King is wrong on this occasion.
Also, you know who else wouldn't agree? David Cronenberg. Not a fan.
What does he know?
Absolutely nothing. Oh, no.
Big shout out to Charlene Niden, by the way. She'll kill us for this.
No, he's a fine fan. We are huge Kroger fans.
Indeed. But, Niall, what have you been watching?
I went back in time, but and I watched.
Time really is is really it, isn't it?
I was watching films from the '80s so and early '90s, so I watched Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade.
It must be like hours before since you've watched that last, is it? That is my favourite one of the trilogy. We're calling it a trilogy, aren't we? That's my favourite one of the trilogy. I like it more than the first two.
Interesting. Yeah. It's my wife's favourite of the trilogy as well.
Your wife has great taste. Mm-hmm. On the
Raiders is my favourite film of all time, so I'm not going to, but I do like The Last Crusade as
Excellent.
Well.
Excellent.
Last Crusade, a lot of fun. I've seen it more since Scylla Black there for a moment. A lot.
That was unexpected for them. I'll be honest.
Actually, you want to hear something unexpected? I was in HMV when I was in London a couple of weeks back, and I saw they'd released straight to DVD a biopic of Scylla Black.
That was the one that was shown on ITV.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, God,
My wife has watched it, and she said it's very good.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't imagine a less...
I'd say it's a lot of fun, though.
Oh, no doubt.
It's a few surprises in there.
Oh, Jesus, make him stop.
Anybody else got a pun? That's me out.
It'd be a good idea for a blind date.
Good Lord, this is good somewhere.
I didn't know about this, and so I saw it on the shelves. And I was like, really?
I thought it was the market for this.
I'm still waiting.
DVD, but anyway.
I'm still waiting for the Albert Schweitzer story, and they give me this?
That is your quote, really, isn't it? there you go. Philip in a nutshell, everybody.
That'll be on my tombstone.
Indeed.
So one of the great things about Last Crusade, River Phoenix, as young as
yeah,
oh,
yes,
I always
yes,
forget River
yes.
Phoenix is in that.
Yeah, but it's one of those rare films that, I mean, lots of films try to do the origin story and usually they're a pile of crap. This gets it out of the way very early on, and it's actually quite interesting in ways, you know. So where he gets the hat from, where he gets the whip from, why he doesn't like snakes. The whole lot of it is summed up in it, but it's such a good action sequence that it works.
Hmm.
Then the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles came after, and we won't talk about that.
Niall's still hurting people.
I vaguely remember watching them.
I used to watch them religiously as a kid.
Do you think he means religiously in a figurative way? No, this is his religion.
Every Sunday morning, every episode.
We do like you, Niall, really.
Thanks very much. I also watched Batman Forever.
Oh dear, you're on.
I like Batman Forever.
Yeah.
No, I
How's the stand-up?
Jim Carrey's Riddler is still quite brilliant. You can't
imagine. I'd agree. I thought it was perfect.
It's pure Jim Carrey.
It is Dayglow, though. It is. Yeah. You could see the seeds of how wrong it was going.
I don't mind Batman Forever, but this is why I said, oh dear, you're on a downward slide if you're sticking to just those Batmen.
I didn't mind the idea of kind of changing up after Burton, though. It was an interesting way of doing it. Like, if you're going to bring a new director in, they're going to have something else to do.
Yeah. I mean,
and you didn't think it was ever going to go as bad as Batman.
They got exactly what they wanted with Batman Forever, Warner Brothers. They got something that was, it was Batman, but it was much more marketable.
Yeah.
It's more appealing to families. It gave you Jim Carrey with that ridiculous hair and just being all over the place. Tommy Lee Jones is such a rip-off of Nicholson in the first one.
I liked
the female characters are all underserved, every single one of them.
Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman, who just seems to be pouting about one or the other, Batman or Bruce Wayne. And
mind you,
Drew Barrymore's Sugar
and Debbie Mazar's Spice. They were just hopeless.
Yeah.
I liked them. I liked Kilmer. I actually thought he did a pretty decent job.
I second that. He's okay as Batman. He's a really good Bruce Wayne.
Agreed.
Apparently he lost 15 stones, or 15 pounds. 15
pounds. He doesn't exist anymore.
15 pounds during filming one of the action sequences, because the bat suit was quite warm.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and then Christian Bale heard that story and went, bitch, please.
Yeah.
And I also watched Office Space.
Yes. I rewatched that myself not too long ago.
It's so good. I've seen it many, many times.
Yeah. No, if you'd like to tell us about watching Office Space, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary Cole is just—he's fantastic.
Ooh, that reminds me. One other film I saw at Horrorthon featured Gary Cole, and more specifically, it featured Gary Cole giving us his old face. Didn't need that.
Excellent.
Oh. Yeah. If you can go ahead and finish off there, that'd be great. Yeah.
You slept.
And the great Stephen Root as Milton as well.
Oh, Milton!
It's my staple.
It's misty.
Misty. Obviously, they're going to have the radio on at a certain level.
Yeah. And even just the last shot with him, even though it's a lovely ending, he's still whining.
He's great.
He's wonderful.
He's so great.
Oh, I just want to pick that character home, put him in my pocket, and take him home as a pet.
His character in Dodgeball is essentially the same, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's
been a long time.
It's essentially exactly the same character.
It worked.
Yeah. So we'll move on to the news.
Oh, great.
We'll start with good news.
What's that?
We may have a new Orson Welles movie.
Yes.
Be still my
beating come back heart. From the dead to...
He's actually...
he's doing Transformers 5.
He's back voicing Unicron. Oh, yeah,
meanwhile, Orson. Maurice LaMarche is shitting himself. do tell now, give us the wondrous news.
So, for the last couple of decades, the last film that Orson Welles ever worked on, his unfinished last film, The Other Side of the Wind, has been in mad legal disputes over who it is that exactly owns the rights to it. And as a result, over 1,000 reels of negative have been locked inside in a warehouse in Paris.
And a lot of reels.
Yeah. And now it looks like finally they have resolved the legal disputes, and it will air in May of next year to celebrate the 100th anniversary of his birth. So this is a film that stars... Oh, it's incredible. It stars John Huston as a film director...
No way.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big stretch for him. Yeah, I don't know if we can do that.
Massive. It also stars Peter Bogdanovich.
As a director who can't direct.
Harsh.
Sorry, it is harsh. I'm joking.
Oh, that's very, very mean.
For Last Picture Show alone.
I know. I agree. I'm going to joke.
Good.
And so it's just... It's great to see that we may get another Orson Welles film. I mean, even bad Orson Welles.
I'll take it. All day.
The man was a genius.
He was. Absolutely. This is great.
Yeah,
absolutely wonderful.
So May 6th of next year is when they're looking at releasing it.
Mind you, I don't envy that director or that editor.
Yeah, I wonder if there's instructions. Wells seemed to do that quite a bit.
Well, Spielberg's longtime collaborator Frank Marshall was a line producer on the film.
Ah,
so
interesting.
Yeah,
could be a job for Michael Kahn then.
Yeah, that'd be a good.
I'd nominate Dylan Tichner myself. I'm sure somebody is going to say Schoonmaker, but whatever.
Whoever, as long as it comes out, I don't care.
I just want to see it. I know where the truth. They're crucial, people. You never take heed.
Apparently, Wells used his own Oscar as a prop in the film.
That's not a shock.
That is classic.
And the origins of the script date back to... A meeting between young Wells and Ernest Hemingway in 1937. So, Jesus Christ, this is
mythic status.
Isn't it though?
Yeah.
Filmed in colour and black and white in 35mm, 16mm, and Super 8.
This is a treasure trove, this.
This is. Oh my goodness.
Can we get one Mr. David Neary in on this thing?
He's probably somewhere in shock. He can't wait. Hi, David.
Yeah, hello, David. Fix that film up, goddammit.
More Wells. This is what we want.
Oh, I'm giddy. I'm absolutely giddy at the prospect.
And we can testify to the giddiness.
So moving closer to home, the Waterford Film Festival announced this lineup for the festival that's going to take place in the city from November 7th to 9th.
Cool.
So Skunky Dog is going to play there.
Skunky Dog.
Well, I'm shocked.
Wow, who'd have guessed?
So it's featuring as part of a double header with Conor Heffernan's Rainbow Chaser, which is a documentary about the person who leaves Ireland in the 60s to live in London with the hip and happening swinging 60s.
Okay.
Finds himself at the centre of Island Records.
As you do.
As you do, exactly, yeah. So this is him 45 years later retracing his steps. Okay. The two of them will air on Saturday, November 8th. The filmmakers will be in attendance and they will be doing a Q&A after the screening. Then there's four programs of short films ranging from 7 to 10 films and each one of them is in or around 90 minutes long. So some of the ones that are going to be shown there is Paul Murphy's Weather Report, which is shown at a number of festivals recently and is doing quite well. Roisin Loughrea's The Room, which is which is actually really quite lovely. Then Vanessa Elliday's The Abandoning is also worth seeing. They're all in the first short program. That one's on Friday, November 7th. On November 8th, there's a lovely Irish language short. It's called On Cot. So it's about an old man whose wife dies and he's left minding her cat, and him and the cat don't really get on, and it keeps interrupting him when he's trying to enjoy quiet time. And
cats will do that because they're evil.
I know. I've lived through that, just not with the dead spouse at all.
Yeah. Not yet.
Ouch.
Jason, you're ruining my dating video.
Then Kieran Dooley's I've Been a Sweeper is showing as well.
Have you?
That is a lovely, lovely film. It's a meditation on life, but told in short film form. It's actually, it's really well done. They're in the second programme. Then the third programme has got Analog People in Digital Age, which showed at Sky Road and did really well. And then New Theories Are on Fence Country, which won in Kerry, and that's really worth seeing. The fourth... and last of them has Dirkitus opening it.
You're a big fan of that one.
I do like that. And then it closes with They Call Me the Kid, which is, that's a very entertaining short. It's 15 minutes long, and it's about a guy who brings his imaginary cowboy friend to a fair.
I think I've lived through that one as well.
So if you're in the Waterford region,
he's here right now.
Okay. If you're in the Waterford region over the weekend, the 7th and 9th, then I recommend going to the Garter Lane Arts Centre, checking these out. There's also going to be a Q&A workshop with David Burke, who's the head of Universal Pictures Ireland, and so they're going to talk about film distribution in the country. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Sounds like good fun. Good clean fun.
Yes, good clean family fun. So the Cork Film Festival has added Big Hero 6. The Disney Marvel
animated.
Because we've seen footage. It looks great.
It looks amazing, yeah.
I thought you were shilling, Philip.
No, I mean it. It looks like a heck of a lot of fun. Okay. It premiered at the Tokyo Film Festival this week and got excellent reviews.
Yeah, I hear really, really good things about it. And it's this will be the Irish premiere of it.
Good work, Cork.
Well done.
Yeah.
I hope it screens after The Tribe. It'll make a lovely anthem. I'm still not over that. That's a great addition.
That is a really, really good addition. So two Irish films are going to show in the International Film Festival of Mannheim and Heidelberg in Germany next weekend, and they are Patrick's Day and Out of Here.
Oh, Patrick's Day is doing the viz again.
Yeah, Patrick's Day is showing in competition. Three of the other films, there's 13 films in total, three of the other films in competition have been nominated by their respective bodies for the Best Foreign Language Oscar.
Okay.
So it's a heady company there.
Excellent.
Uh-huh.
Part won there in 2011. So there is a history of Irish film doing well. It'd be good to see how it gets on, how it plays to the foreign audience, because it's been playing in America where it's been doing really well. But
Terry McMahon may need to build a new shelf, but yeah. The looks of things.
More power to him. Good man, Terry.
So then, the big news of the week, despite the objections of my two colleagues here.
Yeah.
Marvel, last night, Tuesday night, unveiled a raft of new films. So they announced their plans for Phase 3.
All the way to the 22nd century.
Phase 3 of what? Global domination?
Phase 3 of 14.
Well, Phase 3 of however many phases they go through.
However many phases it takes, as long as it's profitable.
Generally speaking, an Avengers film will end each phase. So the first phase was Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, First Avenger, and they led up to the Avengers, Avengers Assemble. And then so the Phase 2 has Guardians of the Galaxy in it, but it sits outside.
Where it belongs, and don't let it back in.
Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Thor 2, The Dark World, and Ant-Man, but Ant-Man will show after the the second phase will not end with the Avengers 2 Age of Ultron, but rather with Ant-Man,
unless Ant-Man bombs because it's going to, and then they'll say it ended with Avengers 2.
So Phase 3, which is what they announced last night, starts with Captain America 3, yeah. which will see Tony Stark face off against against Captain America.
I thought they were allies.
Civil War.
Oh, wait, Philip. You don't know the whole story.
Civil War.
Civil War is a huge thing in the Marvel comic book universe.
Good for the
basically,
Marvel
the Superhero
universe.
Registration Act forces sides to and battle lines to be drawn between those heroes who have no issue being known, with their public persona being known, and those ones that do. And so Tony Stark leads the sides that don't
ooh,
have a problem.
Ooh, ooh. I've heard this. I've heard this kind of storyline before. What was it? Oh yeah, Watchmen.
X-Men.
And X-Men.
Yeah, it's not uncommon in the comics to have this type of storyline. So, but this in the Marvel world was quite a big one because it led to
Civil War.
No, well, not just Civil War. But Civil War had impacts after it had after ripples in the.
It led to the Marvel Free State. Sorry.
Oh, dear.
It led to.
That may be my best joke ever in this podcast. If you didn't get it, God help you.
It led to a big, to a momentous occasion within the comic book universe, which it could be considered a spoiler if I'm going to it, so I'm not going to. So anyway, so that one will be the first. That's May 6, 2016, so that's the American date.
But you're going to go through all of them, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Generally, we get in 1 week earlier, so
okay.
April 29th or so.
Lucky us!
Oh, would you relax?
This is why you do this. You're provoking us. We
then
know.
November 4th, 2016, Doctor Strange.
Is it Cumberbatch or not?
It seems to be.
13 days before my 40th birthday. Joy fills my
heart. Scott Derrickson directs.
Oh,
Benedict Cumberbatch stars.
Most likely.
I
still say Matthew Modine should do that.
The story of a former neurosurgeon who tries to... gets in an accident and loses the ability to use his hands the way that he's used to, so he looks into the dark arts and becomes a sorcerer supreme.
Yes.
We've all been there.
So this is introducing that element of that sort of magical element into the Marvel universe. Kevin Feige, when he was talking about it, said that it will be quantum mechanics. It will be scientifically based, the magical element.
As are they all.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad.
I said with a knowing
that's a big worry off my mind.
So that's two films in 2016. Then 2017, and we have three.
Ugh.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 kicks off the first one. That will be on the 5th of May.
And let me guess, it'll be all anarchic and rude and, oh, those mean venom of ghouls and Groot.
James Gunn is back, and we're looking into the mystery around Star-Lord's father, which was...
Mr. Star-Lord, as he is to call it.
Well, no, I don't think so, no. Jason in the comics, but not Jason, according to Kevin Feige. Says,
Jason, that's him.
If I'm in this, I'm not going to be happy about it.
J-apostrophe-S-O-N.
That's how you spell his name. I will point that out.
J-apostrophe-S-O-N.
Jason.
Yeah, Jason.
That's right, but the first film had a planet named Morag. I can't take it seriously after that. Morag? Where'd you put me past the bats, Morag?
On July 28th, Thor Ragnarok.
I beg your pardon?
Now... Ragnarok is a very, very important storyline in the
Thor. It's the Fraggle Rock story, is it?
Come to Ragnarok. Or what?
Sorry, no. Sorry.
Norse mythology ends, or has a rebirth with Ragnarok. Ragnarok is the gods fighting against one another. It's basically the end of days in Norse mythology. And in this, it's personified. There is a clone of Thor called Ragnarok. And he leads to the downfall of Asgard. And so this is a huge story. Kevin Feige says it's one of the most important ones, probably the most important one in Phase 3, because it leads into the next Avengers one.
So Iron Man is fighting Captain America. All the Norse gods are fighting each other. Can't we all just get along?
No.
We get less films, though.
Yes.
And then we have a new character.
Who?
November 3rd, 2017, Black Panther. So, Black Panther is the prince of... His name is T'Challa. He's the prince of Wakanda, which is a...
made-up African country.
A made-up African country, exactly. But this guy is a leader. You know, so he differs from a lot of the other Marvel characters in that he has something else that he's fighting for. He's fighting for his people as well. Okay. So he's a... Rory Cashin actually said last night a very funny tweet when they showed the first concept art of it, that it looks like a Batman and Catwoman had a baby, because the concept art is basically a leather clad a black man who looks, you know, he's dressed head to toe in leather and it does look sort of Catwoman-y esque.
Oh no, it sounds a bit too much like Halle Berry's Catwoman.
Yeah, no.
Not good.
So, Chadwick Boseman, who was in Getting Up, and he played Jackie Robinson in 42, he is going to be Black Panther. So,
good for him.
This will be the first Marvel movie to be led by a black actor. And so this has been used as sort of Marvel showing progress on that front. But
we still haven't got the Black Widow movie. I'm sorry. They need to step up their game here.
Now, the sixth film is Avengers Infinity War Part 1. So this is the culmination of the Thanos Infinity Gauntlet storyline that's been running throughout the films to date. So everything has been leading up to this. Infinity War Part 1 is May of 2018.
That implies there's a Part 2.
Yeah, Part 2 comes 1 year later, May 2019.
Oh, you teases.
So in between the two parts...
They're going to improve the CGI on Thanos? That really needs working.
One can only hope. But in between the two parts of Avengers Infinity War will come two more films, also featuring brand...
Between 1 year, yeah. We're going to get two more in between.
Yes.
Lest we forget the story in that crucial year.
On July 6th, 2018, and November 2nd, 2018.
What pray tell?
July 6th is Captain Marvel.
I'm sorry, what?
Captain Marvel.
From Marvel.
What does that mean?
You're taking
Captain
the piss.
Captain Marvel is Carol Danvers. She's a superpowered first Marvel female-led superhero movie.
Female?
Also,
she?
So hang on a sec. This wouldn't have existed without Wonder Woman movie, right? They just kind of threw this together then once DC announced the Wonder Woman movie.
Kevin Feige said that Captain Marvel has been in planning as long as Doctor Strange has been in planning.
I don't believe anything he says.
And if all of the sort of internet rumors from notable sources say that this announcement was actually set to be made during Comic-Con, but because they couldn't do the Robert Downey Jr. deal in time, they weren't able to...
They couldn't do the Robert Downey Jr. deal. What, could they not get enough trucks to back up to his house of money?
Well, they were having problems. There were long negotiations with Robert Downey Jr. to get him to come into Civil War, so...
So, like, obviously his issue is not, money, because obviously he can give him anything he wants.
Well, Marvel are notoriously hard negotiators in that.
For anybody else, but aren't three Iron Man films that made countless money, he can pretty much ask what he wants, I would have thought.
Well, that's probably the problem. That's probably why it took as long as it did. But Captain Marvel, and Carol Danvers, as she possesses superhuman strength, so she is basically a female Superman.
Can I ask a question? Where is she when all this is happening now?
Well, she tends to be involved with the Kree in the comic book, so that's the guy, Lee Pace's character, Ron the Accuser, is one of the Kree in Guardians, so she's probably existing in the same sort of universe as Guardians does. So Guardians comes into the fold...
I had to ask
them. I'm out of loops for my Venn diagram here.
Inhumans are kind of like the X-Men in some ways. They're a race of primitive humans who were genetically advanced by the Kree so that they could fight against the Skrull, who are other alien race within the universe. So they possess a lifespan of 150 years or so and are faster, stronger...
So do these Marvel movies, but
The Inhumans opens up an entirely new... universe
Wormhole?
As well, because of the amount of different characters that there are within the Inhumans. So that is their plan. 2019, nine films.
I don't know. Have I got any questions? Why, oh God, do I have to suffer through this for the next 4 years, 3 years, whatever it is?
Well, you don't. You just don't watch them.
But I have to talk about them because you'll talk about them and people like that kind of thing.
And the Marvel films tend to make upwards of 600,
700 million. Hold on. Don't bring money into this. That's not the problem. Well, it is kind of the problem. It's not our problem. Our problem tends to be more the quality of these things. But that's another story.
They are incredibly popular films. And
they are. I'm aware of said popularity. My kind of worry is that we're just going to get a non-ending run. And I'd also be worried about what kind of director they're looking to get.
That's always the key.
Between now...
If the way they've been last few films are being named.
I vote Lars von Trier for Captain Marvel.
Well, Orson Welles is back, so he can get a gig.
Yeah.
Between
he may be dead, but he might do a better job than James Gunn. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gone there, but I did.
Between now and 2020, there are more than 40 superhero films in the pipeline.
Yay!
We have no more mythology. This is, it's just whatever Hollywood can manufacture. No,
but he just said a second ago, like, this opens up another bit of the universe. Yeah. It's like a computer game, you know, you can get to this part, and it's just never-ending bits that you can make up and just say, ah, this is another part of the world. Your man over there knows him from back in the day, and then we got another 10 films.
Where's the cheat code to the end?
In 2017 alone, there are nine comic book films.
For now, that we know of. Yeah. I mean, 2017 is like 3 years away, so I mean...
And not one of them is the sequel to American Splendor I wished for.
God, that'd be great.
Wouldn't it be marvellous?
So, that is the news.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's your news.
So we move on
Orson Welles is my news.
We'll move on to the top 10.
Let's.
At 10...
Yes.
...is The Judge.
Ooh, Judgment is in.
Yes.
Not good.
46% drop. Yikes. To make only €653 per location, so we're still in a lot of cinemas, but turns out nobody was going to see it.
Yeah, because it looks crap.
Because it is crap. Well, yeah. it's not crap, it's just
it's
long.
It's got Vera Farmiga. How crap could it possibly be?
Completely waste.
I was about to say, I suspect it's completely waste. She's too good to be wasted.
She is.
Yeah. No, it's all right, but it's the kind of film that you'd happily watch at home on a Sunday afternoon. It's not...
I'd be happy to let somebody else watch it on a Sunday afternoon, quite frankly. But yeah, I take the point.
So I made 124,000.
That's the last we'll see of it, I presume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It won't make 200,000. So.
Good.
At nine, is The Babadook.
Babadook!
In its first week.
Doing a heck of a lot better than The Judge.
Third highest per location. Yeah. Average only opened in 13 locations, unfortunately. So.
Yeah, but from that it's made 35,000. 36.
I saw it on Sunday night in a pretty full cinema as well.
I saw it on Thursday night in a sold-out cinema.
Yeah, I mean...
What do you think, Jay?
We liked the first hour more than like the last half an hour, but the first hour is spectacular. It's really, really good. I think the problem this film's going to have is that it's, to me, it's not really about the horror angle of it in any real way.
Yeah, I like it, but I always stress it's going to work. It works better as a drama and an examination of grief than a horror.
And a grief, mind you, isolation, anxiety,
regret.
All those things work. And
beautiful.
And the manifestation of all of that is what you get here. In two impeccable performances by the mother and kid whose names completely escape me.
Essie Deus and Noah Wiseman.
Good man, thank you. I knew you'd have them. they're excellent.
They are great.
The setup is terrific. The drama, the chilling aspects of it as the build-up happens throughout the story is superb. The last half an hour, it takes it up a notch into the realm of horror, I suppose, for more fun, to a better phrase. Into the realm of proper horror, if you're that way.
I get what you're saying, but to be honest, the biggest scare does come in that first hour. The first appearance of the Babadook.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but it's not done, like, it's despite the tone of it. It's not aiming for it. The careful build-up is about, it's a creeping dread.
Yeah.
Completely.
And then it lets it go.
Overwhelming, yeah. And then it goes fine. And to some degree, it works. It works in isolation, that last 3 minutes. A lot of it works. Still some problems with it. But I wanted the other bit. I preferred the other bit. The other bit's a four and a half star movie. The other bit, the last half an hour, is a three and a half star movie. You know?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But I tended to focus more on it. I mean, as a drama first and a horror second.
I agree. I think it is a drama and it's a terrific one.
It is. Jennifer Kent, the director, she's got one heck of an eye.
And she's got the framing is terrific. The house.
That's gorgeous.
Sorry, it's a character. It's
the blues. Yes. The
arches and stuff like that. It's
wonderful.
Just,
it's classic horror stuff.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it is. It really is. She knows her stuff completely. Yeah.
And the ending, I like more than most because
it brings
home the metaphor.
But it's odd, even right to the end.
It works.
Yeah, right? It works in the story context. The whole last act didn't quite work for me. But that's the worst to say about it. That's a very good Florida. Very good.
It is very good.
I wouldn't put anybody off seeing it. It's great.
Oh, no,
I mean,
it's
well worth seeing.
But, I mean, when it scares, it does scare. But I wouldn't say it's classic horror, but it's the drama. It is that regret, that parental angst, and even intolerance of your own child.
Yeah, we're
that is harrowing.
That. So we need to talk about the Bible, though, really, isn't it?
Yes, we do need to.
It does have that element to it. It's a point double bill that would make in some ways, actually.
Oh, that'd be sell those two together as a double bill. It'd be the best contraceptive ever.
And then Gone Girl was before it, so
you don't even get there.
But it's a fine film. Really interesting, really dark. Kind of elements that were funny as well. Like
it has a surprising sense of humour.
The Babadook appeared in the TV screen.
In the Méliès.
Yeah, exactly. That was a wonderful touch.
Yeah. Whatever you feel about the film, I can't wait to see what Jennifer Kent does next.
Oh, absolutely. I think she's a director to watch.
Indeed.
Yeah. One of the names being bandied around potentially for Wonder Woman.
Really?
I could go with that.
I could too. I still don't want to particularly want to see the film, but hey, that's one heck of a breakup.
I like it. I like Wonder Woman for many reasons that we won't have to get into right now.
I was waiting for you to go there.
No, I don't know what you mean.
At ease. Love Rosie.
Yeah. I didn't love Rosie. I don't know what it.
I haven't seen it, but I know I won't love it.
I probably wouldn't love it either.
And by the looks of the figures, neither do audiences.
770 per location, so
that's
it opened really wide, 62 screens, but to only...
That is very wide, isn't it?
They overestimated that one.
Yeah. Well, I say that it was based on the... Because it's a Cecilia Ahern novel that it's based on, so P.S. I Love You numbers might have dictated what...
Yeah, but it has no really big stars, and... I don't know, it's not...
It looks very generic.
It looks extremely generic. And
filmed here in Dublin, but set in London.
Oh, it's usually the other way around.
Oh, I think Donald Clark in his review kind of hit upon that with the, you know, red post boxes and stuff like that. It's really weird and disconcerting to watch.
But it could be done correctly, because in Frank, they filmed in Bray and in a seaside town in the UK.
Oh,
that's true,
but
that worked.
But it takes a filmmaker who cares to do it, one would imagine.
Yeah. Plus, whatever about the... about their over predictions, but just bad reviews in general have not helped it.
A lot of meh, like nobody cares, a shrug of the shoulders,
meh.
Which is even worse than the bad reviews in some ways.
I don't know, I haven't seen many meh. I've seen many ooh and ugh even, but not very many meh. Wouldn't reviewing be a lot easier if we just had to make sound effects?
Or one word, two words, shit sandwich.
There you go, that was inevitable. And
this is the tweeting of the film review world.
It's questionable if this will be in the top 10 next week.
It won't. I really don't think
no chance with
it. I mean, it's not expanding anyway.
No, considering the lineup we have coming out this week.
At 7, Annabelle. So, scary puppets doing the business.
Jay loves this.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it, though, but I know you
do. Of course I didn't see it. It's a ludicrous idea. But, it's scared up a decent half of
million.
What?
People will go and see anything, is my estimation when it comes to horror. Particularly around this time of year.
Well, there you go. That's it.
I mean,
they released it just the right time.
But even still, that's still done a lot better than I thought it would. Considering, at best, lukewarm reviews.
Pity.
Reviews don't hurt horror films.
They don't, do they?
They don't.
But they bloody well should. And they should be reviewed and put up to the same standards as every other film. Anyway, I'm looking at that conversation there.
Longest title of the year at 6. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
Yes.
Despite what Rentrack said, it is not in its third week. It's in its first week.
And that's done all right with 75,000.
Yep.
To start.
I've seen worse.
It's midterm now this week, so it should hold strongly.
Yeah, that's the audience it's for. It'll entertain the kids.
Yeah, and it does
a fine job.
It's fine.
I mean, it's forgettable, but, when you're watching it, A-OK.
You got Steve Carell, Jennifer Garner, good sports all.
I like Jennifer Garner.
I like Jennifer Garner. She's made two films I don't particularly care for this year, but still.
Yeah. Other than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Act 5.
Poor Jen.
The Maze Runner. So The Maze Runner is almost, well, it will pass it this week.
Half a mil mark.
Of course it will, because it's a young adult novel, which just are immune from reviews. We'll just get buckets of money, doesn't matter how crap they are, so on and so forth.
Jay, I sense some resentment in your voice.
I'm not a big fan. Up to Sean, I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but...
tell us more.
No.
This one didn't get horrible reviews. It's got middling to... Yeah, middling reviews. And I mean, that's exactly right. That's what it is. It is... It's
meh.
Fine.
Is it, though?
It is. It's fine.
Adequate.
Yes. Perfectly. It's grand.
Just about good enough.
It's a film.
Yeah.
And it features mazes and runners.
It's not as much mazes as you would imagine.
Oh, that's a rip-off. I want my money back. Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I want the back already.
There is a lot of maze in it, but not for as long as you may necessarily.
Is there running?
There is running in it.
In mazes.
In maze, yes.
Good enough.
Yeah. At 4, Book of Life.
The sequel to The Tree of Life, finally. Malick has done
it. I hate to break it to you.
It's not. What?
It's a Guillermo del Toro produced animation about the Mexican Day of the Dead.
Oh, I remember this
one. And it's
Matthew,
a lovely, lovely film. So.
And that has opened very well. 94,000 opening weekend.
Yep.
Animation doing well. Who'd have thought?
It'll not
do
too
well
shabby.
This week, and it'll hold for a while. So. As well as should. It's because it's perfect for this time of year as well.
Good, bad, who cares? It's animation. It must earn.
Give us all the money.
But it is good. So,
speaking of animations hoovering up money.
At 3, down from last week's number 1, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Speaking of shit sandwich.
Down 50% this week.
Yeah.
I wonder if people talked about it. In any kind of disparaging way.
Doesn't matter, because look at those numbers.
It's made all of its money in its first week. €630,000 so far.
It's despicable, isn't it?
It is.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. 750,000, easy at this rate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll cruise past that.
Yeah, what more needs to be
said? It'll make the mill, probably.
Not for the first time. The public is just perpetuating whatever will kill my childhood memories.
Yeah.
Stop that.
It's not terrible. It's just not good.
Isn't it a definition of not good
century.
Terrible?
No, it's like darkness is an absence of light. It is not the opposite of light.
The nerd in the group, as we pointed out earlier, prime numbers and absence of light.
At 2, Fury.
I haven't seen this.
In at number 2.
That's done a big
straight,
business.
Straight in at number 1 in the UK was...
Number 2 here.
Yeah, number 2 here.
I've heard good things to great things. I don't really trust the great things.
But I'd say it looks fine. I haven't seen it yet. Niall, have you seen?
No, I haven't. I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
I wouldn't mind seeing it. I'm a Brad Pitt fan. World War II, tanks.
That's generally my kind of thing. Yeah. I have no desire to see this one.
No,
I'm not sure why.
David Ayer?
Perhaps. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
It looks as respectable as something this laddie can be.
Yeah.
Also, Shia LaBeouf. Oh, God.
Yeah.
We'll come back to him.
Oh, no.
Oh, no doubt.
And at 1, back up to number 1.
That's a girl.
From last week's number 2, it is Gone Girl.
That's extraordinary, isn't it? It's like almost £2 million, probably £2 million already.
Oh, yeah.
That's...
As I said.
That's amazing. That's amazing business.
That is incredible.
If it continues in its current one, the way it's currently earning, it'll be in the top 10 movies of the year.
Wow.
Top 10 girls.
Go David Fincher.
Indeed.
With The Wolf of Wall Street.
I'm delighted with this performance.
I much prefer The Wolf of Wall Street, but I'm glad
I prefer this.
There'll be pistols at dawn, Philip.
No, but they're both adults. Adults.
No, it's really interesting that you give the audience and they will go.
Exactly. It's just because the only thing is, these kind of dramas, like you say, slightly more mature, a bit edgier dramas, they only come along once in a while. What other ones can you think of besides Gone Girl and Wolf of Wall Street this year that have actually made any money?
Well, they're big budget as well, so you're marketed.
They're less than 100 mil. So
they're glossier, though. They're a Fincher movie with an act.
Yeah. Gone Girl costs.
Yeah, Ben Affleck and Leonardo DiCaprio as well. Like, I mean,
that helps. They sell.
Yeah. They really sell. I mean, that's extraordinary business.
And again,
it's a fine film.
I know you don't like Gone Girl as much as I do, but you have to give it this. Now, Rosamund Pike is a star.
Yeah. It's a fine film. I just had problems with it. Many problems with it, but I liked it well enough.
Oh, I loved it.
So, that's this week. So, on to what's out on Friday.
Yes.
Actually, two movies out midweek this week.
Yes, to confuse me. Yeah. Everything should be open on a Friday from my doddery ways.
Ah, yes. Those were the days, Jim. Yeah.
The first up
jam
is
sandwiches in the cinema. Sorry.
The first up is the Daniel Radcliffe starring Horns.
Horns, yes.
Horns.
Yep.
Right. Alexandre Aya.
Yeah.
Yes. Who gave us The Hills Have Eyes.
And Switchblade Romance, or whatever the hell that was called.
Be or changing. High Tension.
Yeah, I've seen that. I liked it. Okay.
I like it.
Until the twist.
That's the thing. Everybody says, what is the twist? Is it a sly manipulation of genre tropes, or is it just shit?
I thought it was shit. But maybe I don't know.
The majority would agree with you. Me, I haven't decided yet. Okay. I need to rewatch it.
Yeah, I don't.
And what better time of year?
I can't do it. I can't. Anyway,
mind you, if you need proof for your argument that it is a rubbish ending, he also made Mirrors, Piranha 3D,
yeah,
and that remake of The Hills Have Eyes, which is not at all pleasant. There's nothing fun about it.
So
a good horror should have at least a bit of sense of humour.
I agree.
Nothing.
So Horns tells the story. Daniel Radcliffe plays a guy whose girlfriend is murdered. He's the chief suspect, but he wants to find out who the actual murderer is. Wakes up one morning to find that he's sprouting horns from his temples and that he can use them to find out the truth from people.
This is an adaptation of a Joe Hill novel, Stephen King's son.
Very popular novel.
Yeah, I haven't read it. I heard good things about it.
I'm hearing
okay things about film.
Okay, yeah.
It's a decent enough cast.
As I say, if you're going in knowing Aya's work, you're probably temper your expectations, but who knows?
Yeah. It
could be okay.
I like Radcliffe. He's a pleasant enough...
I like Radcliffe. He's a solid dude.
Yeah, he is. And
he's a great everyman.
Yeah.
Because he is an everyman.
No, he is.
It's got a gorgeous poster.
Yeah.
It's had some great artwork, I must say.
And the tagline, Love Hurts Like Hell, which is...
Yeah, it's not bad.
Snappy. Yeah. And wait, he has horns sprouting from his temple. Who plays a girlfriend?
Juno Temple.
Hey. Oh, God, I'm desperate for gags.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll come back to a movie with an even better tagline later on.
Will we?
Yes.
I am excited.
Also out midweek is Extraterrestrial.
Huh?
Generic alien horror, blah, blah, blah.
No, nobody will go.
Shoved into the cinema at Halloween.
Who's in this? I haven't even heard about it.
I've never heard of anybody.
Brittany Allen, Freddie Stroma. It's only on in one cinema.
I didn't know Brittany Allen was in it. He says, jokingly.
I have no idea who the hell you're talking about.
It's only on in Voo, so that's it.
This is turning into a film line. Neither do I. What the fuck are you talking about? Spend an hour flattering the bugger.
It's basic plot sees a group of friends on a weekend trip to a cabin in the woods.
We'll
just go watch Cabin in the Woods instead. Which is
Almost anything else.
Well, Cabin in the Woods is on my list for Halloween. So
Richard Jenkins yelling at Japanese.
Mind rewatching? I had major problems with the last act of it. I'd
Cabin
be intrigued
to
watch it again. Yeah,
that's some of the best stuff.
I
love it. And as I was saying, Richard Jenkins screaming at Japanese school children in anger.
Yes.
Richard Jenkins, yeah.
Just
I mean,
Richard Jenkins,
yeah,
period.
Yeah.
So, then, on to Friday. And out in the eye find the lighthouse is Citizen 4.
Ah. Yeah.
This looks good.
Yeah,
it does.
This is Laura Poitras' documentary. It is garnering major Oscar buzz. It's the story of Edward Snowden and how he basically turns himself over to her in a hotel room in Hong Kong. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
This sounds great.
Yeah.
I'm really going to get to see this.
I believe Barack Obama called it the feel-good film of the year.
it showed at New York Film Fest and it went down a bomb.
It was a last-minute addition to London as well. Went down a bomb as well. Excellent stuff. I think I might have to go see this.
Only problem is Julian Assange as himself in it.
I could live without it.
Well, swap him with Benedict Cumberbatch and it's a win.
There we go. It's too much Julian Assange. Any Julian Assange is too much.
I do like that documentary.
A handful of women in Sweden, I would agree with that as well. Sorry.
Topical.
That's
topical.
True.
I'm really looking forward to Citizen 4.
Same here.
Yeah. So, Lighthouse and the IFI this
week.
Then, new Irish film. First new Irish film out this week is the Guarantee. It's TV3 financed it, so it's going to show on TV3 later this year. It's the story of the bank guarantee in...
That has doomed us all.
Yeah, so Peter Coonan stars as well, like, all of those lads, David Drum and the, like, Anglo-Irish and the fall of of the economy.
It's adapted to the play, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Colin Murphy's play.
You say it's financed by TV3.
Yep.
Well, by all accounts, it shows. This is apparently a very cheap and not particularly cheerful little production, by all accounts. Personally, I don't want to see all this being recreated again. I'd rather put some time between them. But...
I think it's an interesting idea.
It's an interesting idea, but I'm not expecting margin call.
I mean, it's probably a little unfair for comparisons. Like, I don't think it's comparing itself to it, but I've heard it being mentioned as in, this is this, and this is how crap this is, kind of thing. And it's trying to do something a little more
light?
No, I don't think it's even lighter. I think it's trying to do it in a smaller way.
Yeah, parochial.
Yeah, and... there's problems, the issues they have with it, and I was talking about this earlier, there's legal issues. So characters are composite characters and stuff because of possible future prosecutions and stuff like that. So,
you see, this is why time
is possibly needed, and that's probably unfortunate. I don't know if it'll play in a cinema, as you said. I think it's a TV movie. I think that's kind of fair. Yeah. I think I like the idea of they're just putting it up there to kind of maybe even start a debate about its subject and stuff like that, which is fine. And I will probably watch it, but. Yeah, I don't know how cinematic it can be. I don't know how much money's gone into it. I don't know what the budget is. Pretty low, one would imagine.
It hasn't got a huge budget.
By all accounts, it shows.
Yeah, well, we shall see.
Then, on a much bigger budget, Mr. Turner, Mike Leigh's Oscar bait.
Mike Turner.
Well, what has love got to do with it? Yeah. I ask you.
The story of a lonely man who lives in a cabin whittling away his days. Mr. Woodturner.
Go to bed.
Niall.
No, I'm on this. It's Mike Leigh's latest. I'll take this opportunity to plug my interview with Mike Leigh, which is available on the website.
Yes.
Also an interview I did with one of its stars, Marion Bailey. But... coming back to the film itself, it's marvellous. It is the story of James W. Turner, Britain's greatest artist, arguably.
Because Constable will be up there too. Yeah.
There's a great scene in it when Turner and Constable meet at the Royal Academy, and they just exchange contemptible greetings. Constable, Turner, and that's it. That is it. It's great in the scene. But the film is full of things like that.
Yeah. Couldn't get him into this and he doesn't share the same universe, alas.
Mind you, I will recommend Exit Through the Gift Shop to
anybody. Oh, yeah, some of
the excellent documentary. But this is, it's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And unlike so many biopics, it's unafraid to go warts and all.
Yeah.
And J.M.W. Turner, great artist, sure, but as a human being, bit shit. Just a touch.
Bit of an ass, yeah.
Well, he had a capacity to like and even love people. He does show romance. He does share with his widowed Margate landlady, Mrs. Booth, played by Marion Bailey. And he had family. His father was... he lived with his father for most of his life. And he has a lot of friends and so on and so forth. But there's also elements of... that just show how unsavory he was. He had capacity for great contempt, even members of his own family, and it all comes together in a fascinating portrayal, a fascinating story, and all anchored by this wonderful performance from Timothy Spall, all grunts and wheezes.
Yeah.
But behind all that, you can almost always get a slight glimmer of a smile. It's great. It's a joy to watch. And the film, as I say... stunning looking film. Dick Pope's cinematography, naturally inspired by Turner. There are scenes where it cuts to a landscape and you're not even sure for a second if you're looking at a painting or a film. Yeah. It is that beautiful.
And where do you put it in, if you can, in the Leigh
filmography?
Yeah.
Oh, it's up there.
Is it?
It's up there for me. I mean, you're talking Secrets and Lies and Naked territory.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
For me.
Well, I'm a huge Leigh fan, so we'll be seeing it.
Now, I know some
weekend.
People might not agree, but I just think this is so well made, so well performed,
It's impossible to ignore. And for, at the very least, for Spall, there, he won Best Actor at Cannes. There are going to be more awards for him before the season's out.
16-1 for Best Actor in the Oscars.
I'd increase those odds right now. I think he's, or reduce them rather. Shorten.
Yeah.
I don't bet.
Clearly.
And I'm all the better for it. I'm a fine standing gentleman.
Yes.
More wine. Next.
New Shia LaBeouf. I said he'd be back.
Oh, no.
I thought you were joking about it.
The necessary death of Charlie Countryman is finally in.
The necessary death of...
This was foreshown like in January of last year.
Yeah. This has been...
This has been knocked around like a bad smell for quite a while.
That title is just something that critics are dying to play with when they're writing their reviews, isn't it?
I would be.
So this sees Shia LaBeouf playing...
Shia LaBeouf.
Probably.
A guy who falls for Romanian beauty and can't really get through to her. So, Evan Rachel Wood plays...
the Romanian beauty?
Yes.
You briefly have my interest here. Keep going.
Mads Mikkelsen.
Okay, getting better.
June Schweiger.
Yeah.
And Little Yo.
Yeah, then it's got Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah,
See, you mentioned Shia LaBeouf, you sent sirens going.
Yeah, it's such an eye learner. It just has the whiff of a Netflix movie about it. you stumble upon it of an eye and go, oh. And then you start watching and go, oh, Shia LaBeouf, and then you turn it off.
Yeah, it just sounds like more of this kind of stuff that Shia LaBeouf is desperate to do to get attention. It's rated 18, hard drug use, whatever. But
who cares?
Can't he just calm down? Calm down,
Do a film with James Franco, for God's sake.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
No. The world would disappear into a black hole if that happened.
Other people in
never just kill each other.
Vincent D'Onofrio and Melissa Leo.
Where's Vincent D'Onofrio been? I've missed him.
That's some cast.
Yeah.
Rupert Grint, too.
Where's he been lately? Danny Radcliffe and Emma Watson have been doing solid work since. Where's he?
Doing less solid work, wouldn't you imagine?
Yeah. One would assume so.
Yeah, so anyway, on to Nightcrawler.
Ah.
Yeah, so this is the new Dan Gilroy-directed affair with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Dan Gilroy, brother of Tony, the man who inflicted the Bourne Legacy on us. But
both sons of Beth Gilroy from Coronation Street.
No.
Not true, but I wish it were.
Yeah, sorry.
So this sees Jake Gyllenhaal playing a Nightcrawler. No, not the X-Men character. See, I could be nerdy too,
I'm very proud of you for that.
A Nightcrawler, who is one of those guys who goes around filming the aftermaths of car crashes and house invasions and things like that for TV news.
Yeah.
Does it freelance. Film opens with him kind of stumbling into the industry, and he just gets better and better. And what makes him so good at it is the fact that he's just so antisocial. He's a really creepy character. It's like shades of... it's Patrick Bateman-esque.
Yeah, it looks like there's a trailer, and the look that he sports is that kind of sunken-eyed...
And slick back hair. And
insomniac kind of feel to it, you know that? Yeah,
exactly. But it's a notable film for a few reasons. An excellent performance by Jake Gyllenhaal. Rene Russo's best role... probably since the Thomas Crown Affair. I've just missed Renée Russo.
She was great in Thor.
She's barely in Thor.
She is a fantastic actress.
She's great in Thor Dark World. She actually gets to kick ass.
Yeah, she does have a scrap, doesn't she? It's great to have her back. It's her husband, Dan Gilroy, is the husband.
Yes, indeed. Nepotism be damned, she's excellent.
Oh, no, actually. And I read an interview recently, she said she just stepped away. And thank you for stepping back.
Thank you. She is excellent here. Yeah. Two great turns there. The film looks great as well. Robert Elswit, who is P.T. Anderson's regular DOP.
Yes.
It has a beautiful sort of neon-y type.
Yeah, it's very Michael Mann. Yeah. Think Heat or Collateral. It's a lot of wide vistas and just twinkling lights of the city spread out. It's gorgeous. My only kind of real shortcoming with the film is that it doesn't have a whole lot to say. I mean, the idea that this guy goes around filming these things, that's pretty much it. And he just gets better and better.
No underlying theme to say.
No, it wears his theme.
Blah, blah, blah.
It wears his theme pretty much on its sleeve.
Okay.
And pretty much what you see is what you get. But while you're watching it, it is most definitely entertaining.
Okay.
So it's solid.
All good.
Gyllenhaal's
Gyllenhaal,
as he says himself.
Jake's, I'm not saying that.
Jake's good.
He's a fine actor.
He is a fine actor.
As Jason's piece on the site today, yeah, five top five Jake Gyllenhaal roles will attest.
He does solid work, and he picks interesting roles. That's what I like about him.
I give him credit for that. He really does. This is, it's not a likable character, but he's fascinating to watch. And that is mostly down to Gyllenhaal. As I say, the film, you might start to get a bit repetitive in its thematics, but I say give it a go because you'll have a blast while it lasts.
Yeah, excellent.
So, there's a new horror out, Ouija. However the hell you want to pronounce it.
Doesn't matter, I'm not playing it.
It's based on the... it turns out Hasbro owns Ouija boards.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, and so... What?
It's been a fallacy the whole time.
Yeah, and so this is a movie based
this
on...
This disappoints me.
...on the Hasbro board game.
I see.
Ouija.
What bastards?
So not only did they inflict Transformers on us...
And Battleship,
yes.
They're just on a never-ending quest, aren't they, to really make me sad.
This is just one, hopefully the final nail in the coffin for Ridley Scott's Monopoly movie.
I don't know, I really want to see...
No, you don't.
I want to see how that could possibly exist.
How about the dude from Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, the Monopoly guy from...
Also, can we have a board game universe where, you know, Cluedo characters can exist in it?
It's a game of life.
Yeah.
Why, Jay, are you being satirical here?
When you play the game of life, you spin or you die.
Oh.
This is $1 million right here, fellas. Right here and now.
Sander, plays game of life. And he died, ironically.
So thank you, Awesome.
So the film stars a bunch of young actors as a group of friends who must confront their most terrifying...
A bunch of young actors, no names?
Yeah, they're all unknown.
You'll never see them again.
Oh, good.
Who must confront their most terrifying fears when they awaken the dark powers of an ancient spirit board.
Well, they will do that.
An ancient spirit board.
Yeah, made by Hasbro.
Yeah, that says it all, really. Yeah. It's a farce. Good night and good luck.
I know.
And on to a decent film to end it.
Yay.
Second Irish film of the week, and it is a lovely moving documentary, 1 Million Dubliners, based on on Glasnevin Cemetery. It's the story of Glasnevin Cemetery, and more than that, it's the story of the former caretaker of the cemetery, the historian Shane McThomas. So.
Yeah.
He's our basic narrator. There's a couple of other stories thrown in, but it tells the story of Glasnevin as sort of a wander around the graveyard. It's lovely. It's shot so that it's all sort of sunset hues and stuff, and it's so the grays and browns of a typical graveyard are sort of highlighted by these oranges and blues, you know, so it's it is really, really quite moving, quite lovely. Yeah, I mean, you could end up crying, you know.
Cemeteries are underrated as places to hang out.
I'd agree with that.
Peaceful.
I saw
people are dying to get in.
I did a tour of Glasnevin Cemetery in the summer, and it was a beautiful sunny day as well. Mm. And the place is a glorious, glorious place, in so far as cemeteries can be.
Up until 1832 when they opened Glasnevin Cemetery, there wasn't a place for Catholics to be buried in Dublin, because this is the first non-denominational cemetery. So Daniel O'Connell was instrumental in getting this place consecrated. And so it's still the largest non-denominational graveyard in Ireland. So.
Largest in Ireland, period.
What, yeah, 1.5 million people are interred there.
That ain't chicken feet.
It's also one of the few places in the country that unbaptized babies were allowed to be buried as well.
Oh,
it was one of those Catholic Church hateful things that they did.
Well, that's the thing about a place like Glasnevin. It will reflect all our aspects of this country's history.
Well, it's got
unsavory and otherwise.
It's got the graves of Dev and Michael Collins. Michael Collins is one of the most popular attractions there.
I bet that there's a duel there. Which one is more popular?
It's not side
close.
Oh,
no, it's not. No, no, no.
Really?
Not at all. No. People turn up and leave. And
Dev's is very... it's very...
Understated.
Very much so. It's a small...
But it's long, though.
Yeah.
Indeed. This sounds fine.
Yeah, fine, no, it is. It's really something worth doing, because anyone, you know, especially you, Jason, who's from, you know, the city, will have somebody somewhere that's in there
I
belonging
do.
To.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Whereas we country bumpkins, I must confess, I've never actually been to Glasnevin.
There's a
cemetery
or the whole area.
I think I passed through it once. I can't be sure, but no,
the whole area of
the
cemetery.
But no, it's our Arlington, as I said in my review of it. It's that important, because it is where we buried all of the notable political leaders, and it is where it's a story of Dublin. And the tagline, which I said is one of the best ones, it's "Every plot has a story."
Hey,
that is great.
That is very good.
Yeah, it is.
Take note, people that put these things together. That's how you do it.
Yeah, it's genius. The poster is beautiful as well.
Very lovely.
And we're quoted on it.
Excellent.
Yeah,
and that's times. Not why we're saying it's good, but because it's just good.
So on that sweet note, we leave it there for the week.
Excellent.
See you all again next week.
Thank you very much.
Bye.